hello. Welcome to From the Horse's Mouth. It's Easter weekend and we are recording on Great Friday. Never have your Good Friday. It's a Great Friday. Rory DeLargy and Ruby Walsh here with me to look at, obviously, some of the ITV races on Saturday. But really, the best action is definitely at Ferry House this weekend. And we'll be looking ahead to Saturday, Sunday, and indeed a sneak peek at the Irish National itself on Monday. First things first, it's the hellos, the most important part. Rory DeLargy, hello. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Are you a big Easter weekend man? Is it marked off on the calendar, something to make sure you're available for?
Not, but it is for the kids. It's not so much for me now, but you know, I'm all about the kids. So in that respect, it is.
There you go. Ruby, what's Easter like in your house? Ponies?
Busy. Ponies going every direction. I've loads of racing to go to. So yeah, Easter just means busy.
Busy. That's okay. Luckily, we have you for the next hour, so you can talk about all the busy races you're going to be watching. Will you be at Ferry House the weekend, Ruby?
3 days, Rory, or PK, yeah.
Ooh, okay, you are a busy man. Right, I'm going to get through some housekeeping before we get stuck into all the action over the weekend. First things first, we have free tickets alert to the Paddy Power Champion Hurdle Day, Punchtown, which of course is the Friday, which is always a very good day to go. To get involved in the draw with your chance to win, very simple. Same thing as always. Quote tweet any tweet regarding this particular show, or indeed write your own tweet. But make sure you include FTHM, a video on this particular show, and you're in the hat. It's as simple as that. So you could win free tickets to the Paddy Power Champion Hurdle Day at Punchestown. We are going to record some punter panel episodes for both Aintree and Punchestown. So please do email fthm@paddypower.com if you'd like to get involved and be featured on the show. And of course, it's Grand National Week next week. We're going to have daily podcasts for each of the days racing, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But do check out the Paddy Power News website. So news.paddypower.com. Loads of selections from loads of our ambassadors, including the two you'll be listening to right now, and a big sweepstakes kit for the big race. You can be the big dog in the office coming in with a sweepstakes kit as well. Always good fun. That's next week. Let's talk about this weekend. ITV racing. It is not a super Saturday, Ruby Walsh, on ITV, but Ferry House is excellent. But we're going to start with the 1:30 at Haydock, which is a money back race. Money back if you're second, third, or fourth on paddypower.com. It is a handicap hurdle, and it is headed in the market as we record on Friday by Bubble Dubby. At 7-2, 6-1-2 friendly for the Skeletons. Take it easy as 7-1. Word has it for Donald McCain, 15-2, 8-1 bar. Ruby Walsh, off we go. Over jumps at Haydock.
Yeah, over jumps at Haydock. And as you said, it ain't a super Saturday. But look, I think Sunday's card, PK, is definitely better than Saturday's card at Ferry House too. So I think the week is building. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then onto what could be a cracking card on Thursday at Aintree. So we start at 1:30 in Haydock. Look, very open. Series final handicap hurdle. I think Gallus Marcalo of Jane Williams' James Best rides. Last run at Stratford wasn't particularly great behind Bubble Dubai, but prior to that at Doncaster in January behind Epitant had run really well. And I'm hoping a run definitely to a respectable level anyway. So I'm hoping Gallus Marcalo at 12-1 each way can run a good race in the first.
Lovely. Gallus Marcalo for Jane Williams, Rory.
I'm going to stick with the horse I put up before here, and that's Whiz Kid. I put him up at a big price for the Lanzarote at Kempton, and he just didn't stay. He was the last horse off the bridle that day on heavy ground. Even though he would have got me each way money if he'd finished the course, he was pulled up before the last when sitting in fifth place. He has since run really well in a decent handicap at Huntingdon, finishing second. Again, didn't stay over 2.5 at Ascot, but got back to winning ways last time at Doncaster. Where he beat Sergeant Wilson and Mr. Freedom, who's a horse I like an awful lot. I was with him at a big price each way in the Fred Winter at Cheltenham. That's good form. I think Mr. Freedom would have won that race if he hadn't missed the last hurdle, but it's still decent form. And the key to Whiz Kid is he's a very good horse at 2 miles. He had group race form on the flat in Germany. He just hasn't looked as there when he's been tried over further. His jumping's improved with experience. That was an issue early on. And he's not gone up in the weights. He's still on the same mark as he was at the start of the season, a mark of 124. Luke Scott, who rides him in most of his races these days, has improved all season as a rider. And taking £7 off, racing off what is effectively a mark of 117, I still think he's well enough handicapped to win races. And more importantly, when I was with him earlier in the season, Richard Newland was struggling for winners. He's absolutely flying now. So lots of positives about him. And at, I don't know, what is it, 8 or 9 to 1? I think he looks like really solid each way material here.
Interesting. I was going to ask if you're going each way. still obviously not too burned after he turned in fourth in the Lanzarote. How many places were we going? Five or six places?
I think six places. And there were only six horses standing after the second last.
So I had to wait
45 minutes to find out, thinking, was he fifth? Because I backed him in various places. Some of them were five places, some of them were six places. I'm thinking, have I got the lot, or did I have to settle for some of those? And then find out he hadn't finished at all. So that was a bit of a kick in the teeth, but I'm unbowed by that.
I'll be honest, I do checks on Saturday morning and Sunday morning sometime to make sure we put in all the details in retail shops, make sure we've got all the extra places in. And I was on to the team and said, lads, we haven't filled out the six finishers for the Lanzarote yesterday. And they come back to me, PK, there's only four finishers.
Sorry.
I obviously wasn't watching the race in that day. Moving on to the 240 at Haydock. Ruby, you got one for us on this. It's a 3 mile, 1 furlong handicap chase. It's headed in the market by the Skeletons and Jeffrey Cross. Mucho Mass is 4-1. It's 8-1 On Guard and Fievel and Tens Bar.
Yeah, I was going for On Guard. He was second in this race last year behind Musical Slave, but that was off a £10 higher mark. He's had, four runs since, but he's had a wind operation after his run here behind All About Joe in December. He had one run since at Carlisle behind Tile Tapper. Didn't set the world on light, but he dropped another £3 for that. He's shown he likes Haydock in the past. I know he pulled up behind Bristol de Mai here in February of 22, but his run in this race last year was a solid one. And I think of a £10 lower mark for Dr. Richard Newland, and Gard will do me.
Two tips for the good doctor. Dr. Richard Newland, WizKid in the 130 and On Guard in the 240. We're going to go really quickly, folks, because there's a lot of racing to cover. On to the quarter past three, which is a handicap hurdle again over the 3 miles. It's So Fury for John Joe Neal Jr. and Senior in the Gay Smith colours. 4-1 joint favourite with Farmers Gamble. Again for the Skeletons, who've certainly got some serious chances at Haydock. Doc picked me at 5-1. Well, we're picking all the Doc horses at the moment, but this one for Harry Riddington. Highland is 7-1, 8-1 the Changing Man, and 9-1 my Bobby Dazzler. Back to you, Rory, for the quarter past three.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with an old favourite here, the Changing Man. Wasn't suited by the way the race was run in the Pretemps final at Cheltenham last time out. Lacked a bit of experience against some of those that day, but I was keen on him going into that from a handicapping perspective. He was only beaten four lengths in the end off this mark. He will keep progressing. The only worry with him here would be whether he had a really hard race at Cheltenham, but of course it's over 3 weeks ago now, so he's had a chance to recover from it. He should have won over this course and distance on his previous start of £2 lower. Just give the front runner too much scope that day, too much room in front. And he's been super consistent since going into handicaps for Joe Tizard. The Tizard stable in better form now than they were Cheltenham week as well. So plenty to like about the Changing Man. And once again, he's an each way price, so lots to like.
Nine's a 8-1 already. So Orde Largy's probably had a nibble already. Ruby?
I was with the same horse. I just thought he was in the wrong place all the way in the Pretemps to winner. Good time Johnny came from Stone last. The Changing Man was on the front end. I thought he ran really well to finish as close as he did.
Fantastic. The lads are in agreement with the 3:15 at Haydock. That is the Changing Man. Okay, that's the jumping done at Haydock and ITV. We move to Musselburgh for a flat card that features the Queen's Cup amongst their races. First race we're going to look at, though, is the 225, which is the so-called Silver Arrow Handicap, 7 furlongs. Autumn Festival, what a wonderful season he had, winning 5 on the bounce at the back end of the last season. 130 favourite David O'Mara and Danny Tudhope. 6-1 the gatekeeper, Guidor, 13-2 with Abduction. Dirty Old Town, also that price, as is Bling on the Music. It's 8 bar. All right, Rory and Ruby, this is the time of year-ish where you talk to me about draws and tri-casts. The floor is yours first, Rory.
Yeah, Musselburgh on the round track, particularly at the shorter trip, 7 furlongs and a mile, you've traditionally wanted to be on the pace, and to get a good position, you also tend to want to be drawn low. Now, if you don't have any early from a low draw, you can get yourself stuck behind rivals. But it's one of those tracks where, because it's dead flat, tactics play a big part here, and track position is very important. So you want to be able to take that up. Looking at the pace here, Autumn Festival, he's on paper, he's the likeliest leader here. He made all in 4 of his last 5 starts last season, including over course and distance on his final start. Up in the weights again, though, for that, starts the season off 91. And David O'Mara, although he tends to do pretty well in the spring, he hasn't really hit top gear yet. And stall 11 is not going to be easy for him to cross over pretty much the entire field. So just against Autumn Festival on that basis. But it's always possible for a good jockey to bounce out. And Danny Todd Hope is a very good jockey in that regard, to bounce out and get across. The one I'm going to take a chance on here is one who's very well handicapped on old form and hasn't shown a lot in a while. Joya Sieka for Keith Dalglish. Now, this horse ran in the contest last year, went off second favourite at 4-1 on the basis of some decent form as a three-year-old. He was disappointing in the race last year and disappointed pretty much through the rest of the season. But since the end of the season, he's had had wind surgery and he's been gelded. So while you're slightly worried about the pattern of his form, he just seemed to be regressive last year. He wasn't disgraced in his final start. That was a slightly more encouraging effort at Hamilton when he was beaten only 8 lengths in a strong handicap. Keith Dalglish, again, tends to get his horses ready pretty well. He's an interesting yard to look at this year because Keith has announced that he's going to take a break from training. He is in winning form. And I thought off a mark of 84, considering he was rated about 100, wasn't he, a year ago? He's come down a lot in the weights. 97 he was rated when he ran in this race last year, down to 84 after a disappointing season. But he was a winner off a mark of 93 over course and distance the previous summer. And if he's back to anything like that form, if the breathing operation has done him good, he could be very dangerous off this mark. He's drawn a stall too. He used to be able to race prominently. He didn't always do that last season, but obviously last season was a bit of a write-off for him. So if he can get away handily from his draw, he'd be a player at a big, big price. He's 33-1.
Taking a swing. Love it. And a very good pronunciation. I'm assuming it was correct. Joya Sieka, guessing Italian, 33-1. Right, Ruby.
I'm going to go a bit safer than that. I'm going to go with the Gatekeeper, who won at Newcastle on his first start after 18 months or a bit more off the track for Charlie Johnson. Atreya Adzini rode him on that occasion. He did run in the spring mile at Doncaster. Looked like he had a shout heading to the furlong pole and didn't quite get home. Can't blame fitness after having a run in March. But I think dropping back down to 7, he's a draw and stalled 6. That should give him a chance. And look, he missed all of his 3-year-old year and his 2 runs of 4-year-old have been rock solid. I know he got £2 for his run behind Harswell Duke in the spring mile, but I think dropping back to 7 will suit him.
The Gatekeeper for Ruby, for Andrea Tenney, Charlie Johnston, 6-1 at the time of recording, Joya Sieka for Rory, 33-1. Right, 3 o'clock at Musselburgh is next race we're going to look at. It's the Scottish Sprint Cup. 9-2 came from the dark is favourite, and you have tipped this one up a few times, Rory, so it'll be interesting to see if you stick with them. 11-2 Zarzini, this has been a real gamble. This was, I think, 12-1 a couple of days ago for Nick David and Nicola Barron. 6-1 Makana, Silky Wilkie also 6-1, 7-1 Vintage Clarets, and Catch Cunningham, it's 8th bar. Ruby, straight back to you for the Scottish Sprint Cup.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with the Plunchar Zarzini. Obviously won this race last year when he beat Just Another Bottle. Ben Curtis rode him on that occasion. He was drawn 99 that day, or rated 99 on that occasion, sorry. He came from stall 1. Don't think he's an overly bad draw this year either in stall 6. So I'm going to stick with Zarzini. Showed he could bounce out fresh last year and do it. So hopefully he can do it again.
Talk about being drawn in the car park. 99. I mean, that will be tricky. That will be tricky.
He's Rory, £2 lower this year.
If you could overcome stall 99, he's one you'd want to be sticking with, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely.
I am not going to go with Came from the Dark here, and I'd be delighted to be proven wrong. But yeah, I've been a big fan of his in the past. He didn't really rediscover his best form last season, although he ran well enough once or twice. He had an injury early last year, and I don't think he ever really fully recovered his form. And that's the thing, when a horse has an injury and then quite a serious leg injury comes back from it, you've got to judge them on the level of form they're able to show afterwards. And I just thought he lost a little bit of pace last year. He wasn't disgraced, as I said, on a couple of occasions, but just lacked the spark he had last year. The fact that Ed Walker has booked Ocean Murphy maybe means that they've got to the bottom of his issues and he's going to come back. But I couldn't be confident backing him at a shortish price. I'd certainly respect Zarzini. The price has gone on him to a degree. But yeah, his chance is pretty obvious because he's come down a long way in the weights. You know, bear in mind, he was He was beaten a length and a half in a very, very hot handicap at Ascot last July off a mark of 104. He's down to 97.9. He's a course and distance winner who comes to hand early. So plenty of reasons to be with Sarzini. I was inclined to take a chance on the Bell Conductor. He's got the early speed to get a very good position from stall five here. And I thought, although you generally want to be drawn a little bit higher, I quite like to have a horse who's drawn in the middle of the track who's got more speed than those around them. Just gives you room to operate. Whereas the horses who are theoretically well drawn, the likes of Vintage Clarence and Midwinster and Silky Wilkie, they can all end up getting trapped behind a wall of horses at Musselburgh, especially with a dog leg there as well. So the Bell Conductor's got the speed to take a good position in the middle of the track. The slight concern with him is that he might just be a taffeta performer. He's by a Dandy Man. Dandy Man offspring tend to do better on taffeta than turf. But he does have a bit of turf form. Paul Midgley's not in great form at the moment, but the thing about Paul Midgley's approach, he trains pretty much exclusively sprinters. And when they turn up for the first time in the year, they're usually burly and in need of the run. And they essentially get fit on the racetrack. They gradually get themselves to full fitness, and they get into form. And as they're doing it, they're also dropping a few pounds in the weights. And when he gets them fit, you know, it's usually sort of end of May, they start popping up on a regular basis. I generally avoid Paul Midgley horses first time out, but the Bell Conductor, unusually for one from the yard, has been given four runs in the all-weather this season, and he's gradually got closer to his best in those four runs, only being a length and a half at Newcastle last time out behind Badgery. And if he proves as effective back on the turf now, having had a fair few consecutive runs on the all weather, I think he's got the ability to win this off a mark of 92.
Lovely. Couple of selections there in Sarzini and the Bell Conductor for the Scottish Sprint Cup. Last race we'll look at on ITV at the weekend is the Musselburgh 335. It's the Queen's Cup, a mile and three quarters. A good race. It's a heritage handicap or premier handicap. And Spirit Mixer for Andrew Balding, the 7-2 favourite for this. Good show for Keith Dalglish's 6-1, 13-2 Wise Eagle. Danny Tudup rides. And there are some National Hunt horses in here. Metier, 8-1. You've also got Paul Nichols sending up Pleasant Man, who's 12-1. Interesting, the Max Week 14-1. I thought Mark Johnson used to win this all the time. Ruby, your thoughts on the Queen's Cup?
Yeah, I was drawn to Paul Nichols as the Pleasant Man. He obviously ran in February at Hereford. Now, his jump form PK is pretty average for a horse who was rated 93 for Roger Charlton to only be rated 107 over hurdles is disimprovement. It's not improvement. That said, he is by Galileo, and Paul Nichols would probably find it easier to bring him to Punchestown than Musselburgh, such as the distance from Ditchy to Edinburgh. But he's sending up Pleasant Man, Kevin Stott rides. And yeah, I think at 12-1, I'm going to take a chance on him. He'd be fit as a fiddle.
Lovely. Pleasant Man for Ruby Walsh. Rory?
Yeah, I thought the fact that all Pleasant Man's owners are Scottish or Scotland-based suggested that that was the reason he was heading in that direction. He's certainly given him a lot more chance on his old platform than you do on the hurdles form, which he's shown recently, as Ruby says. You mentioned the Max Buchan. We were with him once or twice last season, including when he won at the Shergar Cup. And I thought it was interesting that Oshin Murphy was booked. I thought he'd be a bit of a market mover at the Max Buchan in this race because he won it 2 years ago as well. So he clearly can come to hand early. He's still not badly handy. He was only £2 higher than the mark he won off at Ascot last season, and he'd come a long way down the weights before that. So I thought he might be a horse they'd punt for it. But although he won 2 years ago, he was disappointing in the race last year, and I'm not sure where I stand with the Max Buchan. I wouldn't be taking him on at the current prices, but I can see, as I said, I can see him being a bit of a punt on the race. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near soft enough for Metier. And the one I want to be with is Good Show, who's got tons of upside. This is a horse who, on his second lifetime start, was thrown into the Cumberland Lodge Stakes at Ascot last season. And that was in the back of winning by a nose, I think, in a Hamilton Novice first time out. He actually ran really well at Ascot. He was only beaten 10 lengths in the Cumberland Lodge behind Hamish. And then he went to Nottingham for a novice for older horses. And really should have won by a good margin as well. He got um, He gets stopped in his run. Everything wanted to get on the stand side rail there and in the straight on heavy ground. He clearly travelled best through the race, but he couldn't get through a gap. Just didn't have the experience to come through a gap with a furlong and a half to run. And Jim Crowley had to switch him wide of the field. He ran on really well to be beaten ahead, but the winner got the rail. And that was crucial. That race has thrown up winners. Artistic Choice has won twice over hurdles since he was third. Cocklico has won at listed level over hurdles and then won a handicap on the flat the other day by a wide margin. And if you take a line through the form that those horses have shown since, even though that was only a novice, Good Show looks very reasonably handicapped off a mark of 90. And given that was only the third run of his life, I thought there was a lot of improvement to come from him. So he makes a lot of appeal to me, but he would be my idea of the best bet on the Musselburgh card.
Oh, lovely. Okay, good show for Rory in the Queen's Cup, the 335, Ruby with the Pleasant Man each way. And that is the ITV racing done. We're going to take a very quick break, and we're going to look ahead to three fantastic days of racing at Ferryhus.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. Now, we've got three brilliant days of racing at Ferryhouse to look at. Before we get stuck in, Ruby, I'm going to be talking to you a lot because Willie Mullins has sent an enormous amount of horses, suggesting he's not going to have many runners at Aintree. I know traditionally he hasn't in the last few years, but I can't see many heading over to Liverpool at this stage.
I wouldn't say the last couple of years, PK. I'd say other than the year where he looked like maybe being champion trainer in the UK, he's generally avoided Aintree in favour of Punchestown. But look, that's the same argument from the other side. Nicky Henderson and Paul Nichols et al. Are all heading for Aintree instead of Punchestown. That's just the way it is. It's the divide at the end of the year. People go on about the dilution at Cheltenham and give out about it. But I think there are much more opportunities in April for horses to win than there are in March. PK, I think between this Saturday and the 29th, which is three full weeks, there'll be three Grand Nationals and 26 Grade Ones decided between Ireland and the UK.
Nice, topping that up nicely. Total deviation here. Any bets for the Masters, lads? Anyone had a bet?
No.
No? Rory?
No interest for me. I like the Masters, but I can't watch it. I can't watch it at home. I can only watch highlights. And it takes away the enjoyment if all you can do is watch your highlights 6 hours after you've had a bet.
You don't have access to Sky Sports?
No.
That way you can't watch it? Okay. Well, fair play, Rory. There are these things you can get. That's all I'll say.
I have a wife and two children, and it's the wife that tends to decide these things. So
very good.
I get by quite well. You know, it's just every now and again when I think, I can't watch them. The wife actually quite likes the golf.
Oh, well, there you go. There's your first task of trying to get in Sky Sports.
Yeah, but she only likes watching, you know, the last 2 days of the Open, that kind of thing. So
okay, fair enough. Right, well, I've Marikawa backed. Hopefully he wins. Okay, right, Ferryhouse. That's what people want to listen to. 2:45 is the first race I want to look at on the Saturday. It is the Hunter's Chase. I didn't normally have this down to talk about, Ruby, but when I saw the declarations, Animix, but more notably Billaway, and even more notably Fearns Lock for David Christie. Now, he's going to be short price Fearns Lock, and obviously some punters will think, Vosley was a bit disappointing, but this is Fearns Lock to lose.
Yep. I think it is. Billaway eventually did what he has threatened to do on umpteen occasions, and that was fall. Patrick obviously rides him over Animix. Can see why Animix fell at the last behind Fearns Lock at Goran Park when he was only going to be a bad third anyway. But yeah, I would think this is Fearns Lock's to lose. And I thought he only won 3.5 lengths when he won the Tetra Tema, but that could have been 33.5, to be honest with you.
Fair enough, yeah. He could be one to stick into a few acres anyway, that Fearns Lock. The Mayor's Novice, which is due off at 3:20, is a really good contest over 2.5 miles. And again, it's probably going to be a short price double. A lot of people be going, lovely, Fearns Lock and Allegory de Vassi. I'll put those two in. Also for Willie Instit in the race, other horses of note, Limerick Lace would certainly be interesting for Gavin Cromwell. But how's Allegory de Vassi since her last
season? She's in good form, PK, but she's only a pound well in with Limerick Lace. Limerick Lace only has 10'9". Allegory de Vassi has to carry 11'3". They have ratings of 142 and 151. So that only puts Allegory de Vassi a pound ahead of Limerick Lace. So not probably as foregone a conclusion as some people would think. But that said, she had a really good run at Cheltenham behind Impervious. She's unbeaten at Fairy House in her two starts here, is it? Yeah, two starts at Fairy House. She's won both times, but going right-handed definitely suits her. And yeah, she should be hard to beat.
Yeah, she will be, as I said, part of those doubles, I imagine, and whatever else. Moving on to the 4:30, which is a novice handicap hurdle. It's a grade B, so it's a good pot for this one. Willie Saddle's just one runner in Seabank Bistro, whose sights are lowered.
They are, as are Favourite to Sean Du, who Jordan gained for Roden Diablo Barthel as well for Gordon Elliott. The two of those have their sights lowered, but both pulled up and both are hard to face into, if I'm being very honest with you. Neither of them landed a blow or ever looked like landing a blow at Cheltenham, whereas Verdon Place of Pat Foley's has been unbelievably progressive. He won really well under Simon Torrens at Punchestown in January and again in February. Aidan Kelly takes over to claim seven off his back. He got a £10 penalty for beating the gallant John Joe there the last day. That drops now to a £3 penalty with Aidan's £7 claim. And I think Verdon Place will be very, very hard to beat.
Okay, very good. Verdon Place in that novice handicap hurdle. Another handicap hurdle of note is the 505. This is the 100 grand race. It's a big, big pot here for 2 miles. Willie Saddle's Tax for Max, Power Pause, Horansu Derry, and Risk Bell. Mark Walsh obviously rides with Risk Bell because she carries the JP Silks. Paul's on Tax for Max, and Danny Mullins on Horansu Derry with Jack Foley and Power Pause. Of that quartet, I would have thought Risk Bell's probably the most interesting, Ruby.
She is. I'm not sure of four-year-old's records, though, against the older horses in this particular handicap. And I'm willing to bet it's not that strong. And that would definitely be a cause for concern for me. I know she gets an allowance or whatever else, but I would be slightly concerned about a four-year-old here. Jazzy Matty, who obviously won the Boodles Red Winter runs as well. Biker was second. He's not here. So the first and third are lining up. But I would be slightly cautious about facing into juveniles against older horses. I think Tax for Max, look, he's been dropped £3 for his run in the Coral Cup. He's a pound lower than when he was sixth behind Gaelic Warrior at Leopardstown, but I think the handicapper just about has him at 134. Roundabout there is probably his fill. Power of Pause hasn't run in 2 years, a bit more than 2 years, so he'll improve for it. And I actually think if there's one of Willie's that could be unexposed, it's probably Horizon to Derry. Still a maiden. He's only had the 3 runs for Willie. He had one in France as well when he won an AQPS flat race. But he's been second in all 3 starts in Ireland, one in 21 and the last two in 2023. I'd say he's improving, and off 128, he could run a race.
Lovely. Okay, we'll keep an eye on the Rich Richie Silks of Horansu Derry. The bumper on the card, it's a good quality, 130 grand. Willie got, he has 3 in it, all winners last time out. Arctic Fly is Patrick's choice. Cuta Deza, or Dezaz, Pat Taff rides, and West End Victory for Jody, also winner last time out. So maybe not the most simple of choices for Patrick.
Yeah, Pat, I suppose, rode Cuta Deza's on its last start at Down Royal, which... yeah, look, and it won well, Cuta Deza's, but I don't know much about that one, to tell you the truth. West End Victory kind of definitely surprised Patrick anyway when it won at Thurles, because he wasn't there, he'd gone somewhere else. Beat Silver Lark, kept going really well and probably will improve, but I think Arctic Fire has improved a good bit since beating Sugar Cookie at Leopardstown, and I'd say Arctic Fly could be hard to beat.
Arctic Fly, yeah, looks to be the choice of those three for Willie in the bumper. That's the 5:40. That's a very good Saturday of racing. Looking forward to that. We also have an excellent Sunday of racing, of course, at Fairy House. Moving on to that. The first race I wanted to look at, lads, was the 2:35, in which Willie has declared, this is the grade one mare's novice hurdle, folks. 8 horses declared by Willie Mullins. What a puzzle. Or is it a puzzle, Ruby? Or is it a puzzle? Or is it easy?
Yeah, look, Paul has opted for Ashra Diamond, who obviously didn't make Cheltenham, beat Chitara here on her last start. So, look, she's the obvious one and probably is the highest rated of ours, off 134. Conor McNamara won on Ava Grace at Limerick when she beat Hautier. So, yeah, and I'd say the triple suit, Ava Grace, definitely, she just seemed to, I don't know what went wrong with her at Punchestown the time before, behind Hautier, and she could be anything. I think she just was too handy and ran away, I'd say. Obviously, we've got Glory having her first run. She'll improve for it. Hauturier has to turn the form with Ava Grace. Not sure she will. Lotto Joy was bitterly disappointing at Cheltenham. Ran absolutely no race. And I'm not sure she gets 2.5. Night and Day didn't make it to Cheltenham, but she won well at Clonmel when she beat Apples and Winter back in January time, I think it was. I think Nikini has to improve. She was second to Magical Zoe at Down Royal, but she was race fit then coming off a summer campaign. I think she got exposed at Cheltenham. Pink in the Park has been disappointing, I think. Was fifth to Princess Zoe in Punchestown, but she seems to have regressed. And look, Willie might have 8 in at PK, but Princess Zoe, Magical Zoe, and Halka de Tarbert are for me are the ones. I'm sure Rory's going to be with Magical Zoe, but I'm going to be with Halka de Tarbert at the trip. And I think whichever one of those two comes out on top will win the race.
Okay, there you go. Right, so 8 in it, but Ruby going elsewhere for Willie. Rory, you were mentioned, your name checked. Are you going on Magical Zoe? Are you all in again?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, she steps up a trip now to 2.5 miles for the first time. She's related to winners at the trip and you know, up to 2.5 miles. So being by Shantou, you'd like to think she'll actually improve for the step up from 2 to 2.5. And she was strong at the finish at Cheltenham. She's you know, she got herself in a bit of trouble. Just slipped on landing as well. Coming away from the second last flight, she just lost her footing a little bit, which didn't help her. And I think if Adrian Heskin had waited just a little bit longer with this run, he'd have got a lovely run up the stand side rail. It's possible the winner was gone beyond recall anyway, but he'd have got pretty close to her if that gap had appeared. Whereas he had to switch quite wide to get a run into the last hurdle, and then she's run on to finish a respectable second, though she's better than the run. And she's been very impressive on her 3 starts prior to that. As I said, I was with her a long way before the festival, based on how well her Down Royal run had worked out. That was fully justified at Cheltenham as well. That was her first run since November. She's fresher than most at this time of the year. I think there's a lot going for her. Adrian Heskin keeps the ride. Obviously, he's Magical Zoe is owned by Runs the Colours of the Bryceland brothers, and they're partners with Max McNeil's horses, the McNeil family, and Adrian has that retainer for them. So no surprise he keeps the ride, although, you know, I feel if things had gone slightly better for him at Cheltenham, he could have won that race. And I was screaming for him to get a better position at various stages of that. So this is an obvious chance for her to gain her revenge. As Ruby points out, you know, Halka de Tarbert caught the eye to much the same extent, and she was only marginally behind Magical Zoe at the line. So there's not much between the pair of them. I just think Magical Zoe is going to improve further. And that the step up and trip should be exactly what she needs. So I'm clearly going to stay loyal here.
Very, very politically put your analysis of that race there, Rory. And the ride. This Got Glory, Ruby, sorry to bring back onto one of the 8. She's never run before, but she carries the Gallop at the Sean Colours. So that,
yeah,
so
she does, yeah.
Yeah, she's eye-catching.
Yeah, she does, Greg and Audrey, Tardis Colours. But yeah, I'd say she's probably won for next year, PK.
Fair enough. Okay, lovely. Sam Ewing, Davy Russell obviously not riding, nor is Jack Kennedy. Great opportunity for Keith Donoghue, who's been jocked up by Gordon Elliott in quite a few of these races, including on Dr. Bravo in the Paddy Keogh Ceilings Novice Hurdle. Paddy Keogh of Princess Zoe fame, of course, owns that mare who was run in the previous race. Willie's got a few. He's got Parmenian, Nick Rocket, the Gunner Yates, and oh my lord, of those, Paul has decided to go for Parmenian, Ruby.
Yeah, he has. Second to Found of 50 here. Third to High Definition at Christmas and beat Ostend at Leopardstown. I think he might want better ground though, PK. The Gunner Yates is a stayer. One beat Food of Brazil at Thurles. Food of Brazil won on Thursday at Clonmel even. Home My Lord is probably a bit disappointing at Cheltenham. And Nick Rocket has kind of surprised us. Won well at Thurles. Charlie Mullins rode him and then did well to win at Nace when he didn't jump particularly well. So he'll improve for that. Of ours, I probably side with Home My Lord, but I think there's bigger dangers out there. And Deep Cave jumps out to me. I thought he ran really well at Leopardstown behind Goodland, beat a lot of joy over 2.5 in Leopardstown. I don't think he quite got home over 2.6 at the Dublin Racing Festival, and a grade 2 over 2.5 will definitely be his cup of tea.
Okay, keep an eye out for DK, for Henry and Rachel. Rory, your thoughts on this race? I know you wanted to have a word.
Yeah, listen, I think Banjai still hit the frame here at a price, and he's bound to be quite a big price because he's got something to find on form. But he's a really likable horse. I went to visit the Fowler Yard a couple of weeks before the Cheltenham Festival, and got to see Banjai's work. And they call him Dishy in the yard. And it's not because he's good looking. God, he's an ugly brute. But he looks like two horses welded together. But they call him Dishy because he dishes quite badly in front. So everything about him just doesn't, you know, you'd never get to sell him. If you took him to the sales, no one would ever bother looking at him. But handsome is as handsome does. And he's been very promising to date. Not been far on his bumper debut. He then ran really well first time out over hurdles in February to be second at Navan. And although he was only fifth at Kelso last time out, don't think the track at Kelso particularly suited him. And he was making gradual progress through the last half mile of that race to get on the heels of the leaders. They just got away from him early on, but he travelled well and he kept going. You don't want to come from the back of the field at Kelso. It's a pretty sharp track. It does tend to suit those on the front end. And I thought he ran well despite the track at Kelso. Obviously, he was going as a companion to Colonel Mustard. He was running in the big race that weekend for Lorna. I think he'll appreciate the stiffer test here, first time at 2.5 miles, but he's got lots of stamina in the family. He's obviously from the family of Banjack's Girl, who's produced a Hennessy winner and has, you know, Lemilos is going to be one of the favourites for the Grand National. So there's lots of stamina in that family. This is the first chance for him to draw that out. I think he will improve £10 for it. £10 might not be enough for him to win this race, but I think it'll see him in the frame, and he makes plenty of appeal as an each way bet.
They call him Banjax on the race card.
They call him Dishy.
Yeah. Yes. A Dishy at home. Banjax on the race card.
None of it looks good.
he's an ugly horse. I mean, the poor horse. Jeez, he's not getting away.
He is. Listen, he's. I know he's not won a race yet, but he's really honest, and he's a horse he really wants to please. And you can see that even on the gallops at home. So I've quickly got attached to him.
When you say Dishy or Dishes in front, yeah. I'm assuming he runs around in front or something like that. What does that mean?
No, it just means he sort of swings his front leg. Even when he's walking, it's something that that the likes of Monksfield would have done. So Monksfield, they couldn't sell him at the sales because of his action in front, just as he walks. And even when he was galloping, you can see the legs sort of being thrown out slightly to the side.
He's doing a bit of wax on, wax off in front.
That kind of thing. But some horses do it. It's just the way they're put together. And obviously, you're slightly worried that they're more likely to pick up a minor injury if they sort of strike into themselves doing it. But generally speaking, if you've got a good horse that does it, it doesn't stop them. And look at Monksfield. I think Monksfield, strictly speaking, he wound in front rather than dish. That's just a technical term. Depends which way they go with the front foot. But, you know, Monksfield would have been pretty ugly to look at as well, but he was an absolute superstar as a hurdler. So hopefully Banjax is heading in that kind of direction.
Poor horse. Banjax and Dishy. Do you have any Dishy horses at Willie Mullins, or is there any, really?
Sure there are, plenty.
Plenty. Do the Dishies at home. Move on to the Café on Seine, novice hurdle. There we go, lads. About a tenner a pint there. The 3:45, it's a grade two, and Willie has a couple. Hercule de Soy in the William Mullins colours, the JP O'Manus colours, Mark Walsh will ride, and he also has Paul Tennant on board, Hunter's Yarn. So Ruby, both of these, I guess, disappointed last time out, but did something happen to Hercule de Soy? We haven't seen him in 127 days.
No, he pulled up more of a summer horse. PK likes a bit of nice ground. He obviously won at Tipperary in October, then followed up when he beat Imagine in the for auction. I was going to say Monksfield, it was the for auction. Three Card Brag was third on that occasion, but we subsequently know Three Card Brag wants to go a bit further than 2 miles. And then he blew out behind Marine National when he was too keen in the Royal Bond. He's had a break, he's come back, he looks fit and well, wears a hood and a tongue tie. And he definitely has his chance. Hunter's Yarn, look, I didn't think he was a state man, and I think he proved that in the county hurdle. 147 was too high for him. He's dropped £4 to 143. He too was beaten Imagine at Navan in February. He beat Imagine 6 then, so maybe he's ahead of Hercule de Soy, but I don't know. I cautious maybe about Hunter's Yarn. Thought he would have had to have shown a bit more in the county hurdle.
Fair enough. Probably one to just watch by the sounds of things. The novice handicap chase on the card, 2 miler, Dino Blue, Willie Mullins' representative at Markham Board. Now she's going to have to carry top weight of 11 stone 12, and the second top weight is 11 stone 3. So she's a fair different level of class to these, Ruby.
Yeah, and she's given away plenty of weight, PK, but she ran some race in the Grand Annual. She headbutted the second last and the last behind Masakada. She's usually a very good jumper. Her form is rock solid. Magic Days, Impervious, she gave her a race in Cork. So, look, even with top weight of 140, you'd have to think she'd be there, thereabouts.
Yeah, as long as she doesn't do it. She was at the White Fences, was it?
Last year, the same colour as the rest of them.
It was a bit late. It was only the last two. My God, did she wallop those two. The big race on Sunday is what used to be known as the Paris Gold Cup, the Ryanair, and is now the Willow Worm Gold Cup. This is a novice chase, grade one, over 2 miles and nearly 4 furlongs. The Willie Mullins representatives, 6 of them, Ruby. I'm not going to name them. Off you go. Give us your 1, 2, 3 from Willie's.
I'm going through them all. Adamantly Chosen was no match for the Real Whacker in the Brown Advisory. He had chased home Mighty Potter at Leopardstown and Jerry Calhoun at Limerick, so he could be placed. Appreciated, a bit like Mighty Potter, was probably too far out of it in Cheltenham behind Stage Star. And maybe time will prove the Stage Star was the best horse. We'll see that in time. But I was disappointed how he hung across the track when he got involved at Cheltenham. Hard to say he didn't stay. He had a lot of running to do to get involved. He had been disappointing me. Not disappointing. And Fabiola, look what he did in Cheltenham. So it was a good run maybe at the Dublin Racing Festival. So I can see why Paul rides him and he's number one. Authorised Art, I genuinely don't think is a grade one horse. I think he'll struggle. Flame Bearer, I think, is more of a 2 miles, 2-2 horse than a 2.5 mile horse. Well beaten at Navan behind Indiana Jones. Beat up in the ante at Thurles when he was able to boss the situation, but not sure he'll be able to do that here. Flanking Manoeuvre, I think, has to improve. Gerard James de Burley ran disappointing at Cheltenham behind Stage Star. He was only beaten 9 lengths and he could be the pace in this race. He might be the one that books out and goes. I think Mighty Potter, a bit like Appreciated, was just too far back in Cheltenham and gave it the Stage Star. I think he's definitely the one for them all to beat. And Sir Gerhard, he never rose a gallop in the Brown Advisory behind the Real Whacker. He was the first horse beaten. So there's definitely question marks over him. The, on ability, I would say Sir Gerhard is potentially the best horse in the race, but he hasn't shown that as a chaser. And I'd say the safest option is Mighty Potter.
All right, Mighty Potter, big mount for Keith Dunne. It was a big weekend for him coming in a super sub on Mighty Potter. I'd say there'll be a lot of people who'll be, you know, fingers were burnt by Mighty Potter at Cheltenham. Be interesting to see if they come back. One more race to look at on the Sunday. It is the 100 grand George Myrna Memorial Bumper, the Tattersalls Ireland Sales one. And I wanted to bring in Ruby, 2 Grand Slam Sam in the Jigginstown colours. They don't have a huge amount of bumper runners. Or maybe that's just Cheltenham. Sorry, maybe not at Cheltenham. Patrick's Mount and Punch Perfect also in the race with Charlie riding that one. So they're the two.
Yeah, Grand Slam Hero is a blue Brazil horse. He goes nicely. Patrick has opted for him, as you say. And Charlie Mullins rides, what do you call the other one again?
Punch Perfect.
Who's buying Nathaniel even. Look, PK, they're both first time up. They obviously came out of the sales last summer, which is plenty soon enough for Willie. I know he won this race last year, but it is soon for Willie to have them ready. Neither of these were in training as two-year-olds. They're not ex-flat horses that went back through a National Hunt sale or anything. These are proper National Hunt horses. And whatever either does tomorrow, they'll improve plenty. Maybe one of them will be good enough. I think Grand Slam Hero, he probably cost a few quid when he was purchased at the sales, 170,000 if my memory is correct. So at the Derby sale, so he'll be looking to justify that price tag, I'm sure.
Remember when Michael Leary said he wasn't buying any more horses? When did that happen? Has that happened yet? Is he going out of the game? Does anyone know?
I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you.
Rory?
Well, he did go a while without buying any horses, and then he sort of sneaked back in and started buying them again when no one was looking.
Well, when 170 grand horses for 4-year-olds pop up in races, yeah. We're looking at them now, Michael. That's Ferry House and Sunday covered. Let's have a look at Monday, Easter Monday, Irish Grand National. Obviously, the feature, no doubt extra places will be available on paddybear.com and in the Paddy Power shops. I'll just call out the betting. Now, we're recording on Friday, so there could be a few changes, and we don't have the benefit of declarations, so apologies if we call out non-runner, but hopefully the field is set. The Devils coaching for Noel Mead and JP Urbanis, the 7-1 favourite. Panda Boy, 8-1. Angels Dawn, I know mentioned, given a few good mentions by Rory in the past, 8-1. Stumptown, tipped up everywhere. Cheltenham, 9-1. 10-1, Lord Lariat. Tenzing is also 10s. 12-1 for the likes of Espinito Bello. I am Maximus 14s, Chemical Energy 14s. And I can go all the way down to the 101 shots, which I probably should, because Ruby Walsh, this race has got a fair habit of giving us a big price winner.
It does. And look, we're guessing, as you say, PK. I don't know. Do either of you know if there's an intention to run Royal Pagai?
You know Joe Chambers better than me. We tweet him mid-show.
So I was kind of thinking he wouldn't. So I was of the presumption that the weights are going to rise 15 pounds from where they are now to bring Espinito Bello to 11.10. That is the assumption I am working under. So if Royal Pagai is declared on Saturday morning, you can ignore what I'm going to say from here on. Therefore, that brings I am Maximus to 11.8. I think you want to be 11 stone or under, ideally, in the Irish National. So I'm going to keep going down till I find a novice that's going to be round about there. Tenzing will be just over. I think he has to jump better. I think the one that jumps out at me is Panda Boy. I know he fell at Leopardstown on his last start, but he's third on over fences. He was third in the Paddy Power. I think he's a massive chance. Am I Right? Will be £2 lower than that again. 10-11. I think he's a big player. And on level weights will be Angels Dawn. At the time of recording, PK, they're 16, 17 and 18 in race card order and 19 Dunboyne. I think the winner will come from one of the four of those horses.
Okay, one of the four of those. They're, like you said, that numbered at this stage, but they'll get in. That's the main thing. Rory, your thoughts on this?
Yeah. Obviously, the shape of the race will change if Royal Pagai doesn't come in, and that does change things a lot. I think it's a massive help to be, first of all, to be able to run off 9-7. You just don't get that opportunity very often in races of this nature. And I thought Now Where or When was interesting. He really doesn't have a pedigree for this, but he looks like he stays further than he ought to. And he produced a career best last time out when third in the Bobby Joe. I went back and looked at that race and tried to work out, you know, was he massively flattered by that? I don't think he was. I'll grant you, the Ken Boy is not the horse he was. He's been retired since that. But he got the run of things from the front. Now Where When, I thought, kept on very well late in the day. It was just done for second on the run-in by Vanillier. And the form, the form makes plenty of sense. I've gone back to look at some of his previous races, and his previous two races come at 2 miles and 2.5 miles. He's doing good late work both times, found plenty for pressure after, one or two things went wrong from a down Royal. He's got form at Ferry House before. I think he'll be handy, and he wasn't handy. He made the running at Down Royal over 2 miles, so he's clearly got the ability to get out there and race handily. He was not far off the pace in the Bobby Joe last time out. He's off the same, he's off the same mark as he would have been, or close to it. Currently, he's got up a little bit for that, but not massively. And if you trust that form, he's got a big chance Now Where or When. What I always look for in this race is I want to see a horse. Who is going to get into a rhythm towards the head of the field. That's been the case the last 2 years. I think the last two winners the day before were the rank outsider for this race, and both of them pretty much made every yard of the running. If you've got a horse who's lightly weighted, improving, and can get into that kind of rhythm, that's worth, it's worth their weight in gold. That doesn't quite fit the bill with Now Where or When. I'm guessing not many horses are coming out of this. Because it gets interesting. If you look at the horses down below number 30 who are not guaranteed a run, a Stumptown would have a massive chance getting into that. I think the Kim Muir is really, really strong form. Obviously, I was with Angels Dawn. The problem with Angels Dawn here, though, is that she has been reassessed in Ireland, where she hadn't been reassessed in the UK before the Kim Muir. So she's up a chunk for that run in the national trial, I guess, when she unseated at the third last. So she's got a much tougher task than she would have. Stumptown is better off with her. He's actually lower in the weights here than he was at Cheltenham. He ran an absolutely tremendous race. I think that will prove to be very strong form. He's only six as well. If he sneaks in here, he's got a big chance stump time, but it is a little bit of a question mark. He'll also go from close to the front. So I can see him being a wholesale gamble if he does get in. But I'm not sure how many horses are going to come out of this race now. Not that many, I don't think. And as it stands, I would go with Now, Where, or When. I'd probably end up switching to Stumptown if there are, you know, half a dozen defectors. But okay. I don't mind an outsider here. He's going to be 25 to 1 thereabouts, isn't he?
I'm looking at a certain Racing TV broadcaster who has a certain daily podcast on his feed, and he has... I do reference him a lot in this podcast. He has at Scobie Jr., which is Joe Chambers, by the way, folks, who is the racing manager for Rich Ritchie. At Scobie Jr., Ireland flag likely for Royal Pagai. So that would suggest he's coming over to run. So that brings in your original suggestion there, Ruby, doesn't it? That he is running and therefore your...
No, my original suggestion was that he wouldn't.
Okay, so let's redo it again.
If you're telling me he will, I think that gives a lot of horses that I thought were going to be way too high a chance. The likes of Aya Maximus, who will only go up 6 pounds, which will bring Aya Maximus to 10-13. I think that gives him a great chance now.
Okay, lovely. There you go.
It also makes it less likely that any horses are going to come out of the race as well, because everything now with Royal Pagai in its top weight looks to have some kind of handy weight. And given what this race is worth.
It does, but you're going to, from Deffy Blue, not Deffy Blue, because Callan Conn, John Joe is the same, but from Birchdale, they'll be 4 out of the handicap. Birchdale, Champlain, Platinum, Below, Nowhere, or When, they'll be out of the handicap.
Lovely. Okay, right. So no one's tipping up Royal Pagai, by the way, even though he runs, I think he'll run a great race. We've seen top weights go well in this before. And if he gets his ground, I think he'll run a great race. It'd be nice if Scobie Jr., a.k.a. Joe Chambers, his last tweet was about the Bloody Masters. It'd be nice if you could just tweet what the plans are. Maybe you can. Ruby, while I'm looking at his feed, Monkfish could be back.
He's in Monday, yeah.
Yeah.
He's in good form and he's working away. PK would be a big ask for him to go and win, but he's a lot of groundwork though.
Okay. All right. Keep an eye for Monkfish amongst other really interesting. But like I said, we could talk about a load of horses who are entered but not declared. Lads, I suppose I need your naps over the weekend. Easter naps. There'll be plenty, I'm sure, out there after the Easter eggs and whatnot and the lamb and all those sort of things. I'll open the floor to the weekend. You can have one for the weekend. Ruby, your nap of the weekend.
I'm just looking back through, PK.
I know Rory has a strong one at Musselburgh. So if you want to go back to Rory,
to Musselburgh anyway.
I know you're not.
I guarantee you. I think Verdun Place, even with all the Willys runners, I think he's well ahead of handicapper.
And that's in the?
4:30 at Ferry House on Saturday.
Thank you very much, Verdun Place in the JP Silks for Pat Foley, son of Tom. Rory, your nap of the weekend. Are we going to Scotland on Easter?
Yeah, well, I think we'll go to Scotland in the 3:35 at Musselburgh. I will weigh in with Good Show, who I think is a 6-1 shot.
Good weekends for Keith Dalgleish and Dr. Richard Newland, lads, to yourselves. Two tips for Keith and two for the good doctor. Gentlemen, thank you very much. That was an elongated but fantastic look ahead to a wonderful weekend of racing. We'll be back for daily pods for Aintree. I'm looking forward to seeing you both. Ruby, you're, I assume, heading to Liverpool.
I am indeed, PK.
Good man. He's heading off from this podcast too, by the looks of him. And Rory, you'll be.
As you said, it's Great Friday or Good Friday. I just go and get my kids out of the swimming pool and bring them running.
Well, fantastic. No better, man. Gentlemen, we'll be talking to you early next week. Remember, daily pods for Aintree. Watch out for the Punters panel episodes. Do check out the news.paddybear.com for loads of tips on all things nationals over the next few weeks. Enjoy the last Paddy's Pick 5, 20 grand, 25 grand on the pot as well this weekend. All the races live on ITV. You can check out news.paddybear.com, all the details for that. But until next week, folks, have a great Easter weekend.